We're delving into the NBA playoffs and the unique persona of Jimmy Butler with the New Yorker's Louisa Thomas. Plus, the NBA is nearing a historic broadcast rights deal as one media powerhouse tries to box out another. The Premier League could implement a spending cap, and LeBron James is leaving his options open. It's Wednesday, May 1st. Happy May Day. I'm Owen Poindexter, and this is Front Office Sports Today. A historic NBA media rights deal is approaching, and we are starting to get hints about what's going to be in it. NBC Universal is offering around $2.5 billion per season for a package of national games that would be shown on NBC and Peacock, according to the Wall Street Journal. If the NBA goes for that, NBC would join Disney, which could nearly double the $1.5 billion it's paying next year to $2.6 billion annually, starting in the 2025-26 season, when all of these deals would kick in. Amazon is also reportedly closing in on a deal to be the NBA's primary streaming partner in a deal that could include playoff games. The question is, does that leave room for TNT? The NBA has been on TNT since 1989, and together they rode the rise of the cable bundle. But now, as the cable bundle falls apart, Warner Bros. Discovery is in a tough negotiating position with a league that is looking toward a younger, more international audience. And if TNT can't find a way in, what happens to its massive contracts with Charles Barkley, Ernie Johnson, Kenny Smith, and Shaquille O'Neal, who all signed contract extensions with the network in 2022? We should have answers to these questions soon. The Premier League is close to implementing a salary cap. The idea would be to take what teams receive in centralized broadcast and commercial deals, look at the amount given to the team that gets the least, and cap spending at five times that. Under the proposal, the cap would have been $647 million for the 2022-23 season, and only Chelsea would have been over that line. So this likely wouldn't change the basic status quo, in which some teams have way more to spend than others and are mostly able to maintain that situation by using that money to stay on top of the standings. But it would put a ceiling on how much teams can spend at a time when the league is being flooded with investment money, particularly from the Middle East. 14 clubs will have to approve the proposal for it to go into effect in a vote set to take place in June. After the Lakers were bounced from the playoffs by the Denver Nuggets, LeBron James declined to say whether he would exercise his opt-out. James can play one more year with LA for $51.4 million or take his talents elsewhere. No reason for him to rush the decision. He has until June 29th to decide. Just so happens that the NBA draft is on June 26th and 27th, and his son, Bronny James, has declared for the draft. Bronny had a rough freshman season at USC last year. He had a cardiac arrest last July, didn't play a game until December. He averaged just under 5 points and 3 rebounds per game last season. So for any NBA team that drafts him, it's unclear how much of a contributor you're getting, but there's a decent chance you're also getting at least a year of his dad. LeBron has said he wants to play with Bronny before he retires. The Warriors get to pick before any team that made the playoffs, so maybe they go for it to pair with Steph Curry with another living legend. If they don't, the Lakers can go for Bronny with the 17th pick if the Heat or 76ers don't do it first. After that, any playoff team could be the one that drafts the 19-year-old in the hopes that the 39-year-old will follow. Up next, New Yorker writer Louisa Thomas followed up her profile on Nikola Jokic with one about Jimmy Butler. We spent some time comparing the two stars who met in last year's finals, and then looked into some of the other narratives going on in this year's playoffs, where there are plenty of superstars, but not the ones we've gotten used to in years past. That conversation is next. All right. Very excited to be joined now by Louisa Thomas, staff writer for The New Yorker. Welcome, Louisa.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you back on. So last time we spoke, it was off of a piece that you wrote about Nikola Jokic. You recently wrote about Jimmy Butler. It occurs to me that you'd be hard-pressed to find two more opposite players, especially in terms of who they are off the court. How would you sort of describe Butler?
They both, I think, are who they are. So I actually think in some ways they have more similarities than you might think off the bat. I mean, Jimmy Butler is a character. He's a character of his own making in some ways. He has these kind of big entrepreneurial instincts, competitive instincts. He has this really fascinating backstory. He had a really tough upbringing, actually spent much of his high school career homeless and actually, like Jokic, was underestimated really at every turn. You know, he was not a five-star recruit. He did not, you know, he did not go to Kentucky. He did not, you know, he really sort of had to prove himself and also improve himself. Now that I'm thinking about it, I actually think there's a lot of parallels with Nikola Jokic, because these are both players who were not really kind of identified as potential NBA superstars. And you know what? Because they weren't necessarily obvious potential NBA superstars, one of the amazing things about both of them, I think they were underestimated for different reasons, but both of them worked really hard on improving their games and did. And sort of both were very, very smart about seeing what their roles were on the court and how they could become better. And both are pretty kind of, I think probably like not the best teammates for everyone. I could definitely say that about Jimmy Butler, who really famously is like, you know, flamed out of a couple teams. He is a very kind of hard charging guy.
He's also one of five people, I believe, five NBA players who are going to be on a Netflix series similar to Quarterback, where we follow them around and get a fuller picture of their life. And I'm wondering, because he presents so much on the surface, I mean, yeah, there's like emo Jimmy thing, and you know, he does like all this weird stuff for Media Day. He has this coffee company. I'm wondering what we might get to know about him when we go a layer deeper and like, you know, spend some time with him, like maybe when he's not presenting a certain image.
Well, that's a good question, because, you know, he's very sort of, I mean, he has a lifestyle brand, as many basketball players do, Big Face, which is, I guess, started as his coffee company, but has greater ambitions. And, you know, these shows are branding exercises ultimately. And so the question is, are they only branding exercises, or are they actually opportunities to sort of like see a real human behind the brand? And with someone like Jimmy Butler, it can be sort of hard to distinguish between the two, because the promise of the brand is authenticity. So you never really know whether what you're getting is a kind of exercise in you know, self-fashioning, or whether or not it's something that is some sort of like more kind of exposure of vulnerability. I mean, and again, like in some ways, maybe those distinctions don't matter when you come to someone like him, but it will be interesting to see.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I sort of find myself going in a loop with him where it's like, I'm not quite sure how seriously to take anything he does. I mean, clearly some of it's just like him goofing around, like the emo Jimbo thing. And like even his coffee company, where he's charging $20 a cup for a cup of coffee, and that was in the NBA bubble, or is 100?
So, well, he charged $20. Here's the story. So he charged $120. He's charged $20, but he realized that they got their per diems in a, you know, big fat envelope of cash, and it was like $1,000 in $100 bills, and then like a 20. And he knew that like they're not going to the ATMs. Like most of the, you know, restaurants are they're being paid off their like wristwatch or whatever they're key, you know, at Disney is. And so he realized these guys have a lot of cash, but they don't have a lot of $20 bills. They've got a lot of $100 bills. So if he charged $20, no change, $20, no change, that meant that a lot of guys were going to be paying with $100 bills, no change. And that's what Big Face stands for. Actually, it's like the big face on $100 bills. So because most of his cups of coffee were actually $100, not $20. And that's a classic Jimmy Butler story. You know, it's a very smart, very devious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Playful. You know, so, but yeah, it's hard to know what to do with a lot of these stories, because he is kind of having fun with all of us, I think, and with himself. And at the same time, there does seem to be some sort of like depth to him, you know.
Right. Yeah. He seems very serious about what he does. I mean, yeah, we talked about his hyper-competitiveness, and yeah, at the same time. And I feel like he's sort of one of those figures where like he's in a Fall Out Boy music video, and he just sort of like pops up in these, you know, random spots. And like part of the joke is just that it's him. It's almost like a Super Bowl commercial where they dig up celebrities, where it's like, it's just funny because you don't expect to see that person in that situation. And I think he's very in on that joke. And has a lot of fun with it. And at the same time is, you know, like this insanely competitive, serious person.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. I mean, he's, Yeah, he enjoys being a cameo, I think.
Let's zoom out a little bit to the rest of the NBA. So Butler's injured and his team's probably not going to make it long enough for him to come back. Steph Curry's out. Never really made it. LeBron's out. Durant's out. A lot of the sort of big names of the past 5 to 10 years are not on the court. But we've got some super loaded teams. The Celtics look super dominant, and then teams that are sort of more like ensemble groups, like the Knicks are finally good again. As I've said way too many times on the show, the Timberwolves, the Thunder, they're like these teams that people don't necessarily know, especially if you're not a big basketball fan. But it's kind of a nice coming out party for some of these less heralded stars.
Sure. I mean, you mentioned the Thunder. They're an incredibly young team. You know, one of their best players is a rookie. Another one of their best players, one of the best players in the world, is quite young. I don't know how. I don't know Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's age off the top of my head, but it's a very young team and a very good team. Anthony Edwards is 22, probably the most charismatic player in the league right now. Certainly he's the name that's on everyone's lips, as we're talking, I think. I think there is a sort of sense of guard changing. I think that's fair to say. It's probably about time, All credit to LeBron James, but
yeah, and he's still great. Steph's still great, but like they're getting old, and like we're at the point of like, okay, how many years do we have left of those guys? And there are players who are at least as good or better on the court, as much as they bring. And yeah, speaking of guard changing, the NBA, we're starting to get little bits and pieces of offers around their next media deal. They seem to be close with Amazon. NBC is making a big offer. And whatever happens with their next set of media deals, when they're likely to get more media partners, but it's inevitably going to be some kind of, if not a rebrand, a sort of a change to the look and the feel of the NBA's national image. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on where they're headed or where they should be headed.
I mean, one thing that's a challenge for the NBA is that it has a long season. It has an even longer season, because of the play-in tournament. And there's a little bit of a tension in the NBA between the regular season and the postseason. And that's been kind of come to the fore this season because in preparation for these media rights deal, the league has made a really big push to make sure that its stars play every day. I don't know whether it's correlation or causation, but the main story of the playoffs so far is actually like injuries. and that's a kind of real source of tension between the league and the players, and something they'll be looking at as well. But there is a kind of, they do need to work out. And I think that's what they're trying to do, is like how to make a regular season game feel really important in a sort of holistic way, so that it's less like a 5-minute clip and more something that, you want to sit down and watch a whole game of, which I think the playoff still has, while also recognizing the playoff is the real kind of, marquee event. I think that they'll be looking at that kind of like, how do we prioritize player health so that the players are available when everybody is watching, while also making sure the players are available when fewer people are watching, so that more people will then watch. I think that's like an ongoing conversation which I hope people are taking very seriously, because all these injuries are just a total bummer, and it might be just coincidence, but it's still a total bummer. I'm going to be interested to see like my own personal, like everyone else, I'm curious about the role of, gambling companies and the gambling money that is flowing into the league and indirectly into the players. But League Pass is like now famously incorporated, betting into its broadcast. And I'm sort of interested in what kind of role, if any, maybe you're a better person to answer this than me, like negotiations around that involve. Like, are they, to what extent is that going to be foregrounded or lessened or ignored or whatever? Because I feel like the kind of intrusion of, you know, gambling into the broadcast has been kind of something I've really noticed. And I think a lot of people have noticed. And I wonder if that's a conversation they're having as they're doing these deals and what direction that's taking, kind of taking the league, or whether or not there's a conscious pushback against it. And maybe that's just a totally separate conversation, but because it has become such a big part of the broadcast, it can't be a separate part of the conversation. So that's not really what you asked about, but that's what's on my mind.
And then there is the Jontay Porter incident, which I think the NBA wants us to think of as like this isolated thing, you know, this fringe player.
Or this is the system working. This was going on behind the scenes, but because we have these partnerships, you know, we have
money. Right. Now it's all above board and we can see what's going on. But then there's the flip side of like, would this have happened in the first place if without it being so available to him? And also, like, are there guys we're not catching? Are there guys in college who, you know, are making little to nothing who have all the more incentive? I mean, like most NBA players, you know, if they're making $20 million a year, they're not going to, like, you know, the scheme would have to be so enormous and so easily catchable for them to get involved with something like this. But a guy who's like barely on the roster, who can make a bunch of money just by like saying like, oh, like I have a migraine, like I got to sit out the rest of the game. You know, and yeah, and then double that for college, the incentives are there. I think it just makes for very awkward headlines. And I think the NBA and most other leagues are just going to try to skate through this and say like, look, we caught them. And also we're making a bunch of money. So we're just not going to worry about this too much.
I am sort of curious about like, you know, these are the revenue streams right now, right? It's TV money and gambling money. And I'm wondering about how those streams like work with and against each other and how the league will kind of prioritize, you know, protecting one, you know, from the other, or whether or not it's sort of like all kind of flowing into the same river. And to go back to your question, like, I wonder to what degree those conversations are happening like in parallel or in the same kind of as they're talking about TV, you know, are they talking about, because I'm sure as, you know, NBC comes forward or Amazon comes forward, you know, Amazon's a streaming service. Like, are they talking about, you know, we can incorporate your partners, you know, in the same way that League Pass is doing, like, is that a kind of like a service that Amazon might be wanting to offer? I haven't read anything about that. I haven't heard anything about that. It's just 100% speculation. I'm like sort of curious about how those negotiations are going to go, whether or not they involve that kind of, you know, I guess what used to be called like synergy, you know, but I'm curious about it.
Louisa Thomas, always a pleasure having you on. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
That's it for today. Subscribe and drop us a rating and review. It helps other people find the show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.